Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, and it reads, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was born and said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon that has a simple title, Living According to God's Word. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you, and we pray now, Lord, a prayer of blessing upon this word, that it may inspire our hearts and our minds and give us guidance, direction, and food for thought. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we have reached the end of the Advent season, the first question that comes to mind, the first question that I have the desire to ask is, what have you learned so far? As you ponder these last 4 weeks, as we have lit candles week after week, what have you taken away from all of the hard work and effort that Pastor Anna, the worship committee, and I have put into all of this? Well, through the lighting of the Advent candles, we were taught lessons on hope, peace, joy, and today's reading was one about love. And living according to God's word means that we are living a life that is surrounded, that is covered, that is built on nothing short of that wonderful four-letter word called love. The kind of love that comes as a result of our hearing the word of God, but more important than that, our response to it. Our gospel reading today teaches us something very intriguing. It says that Mary responded to God in a way that most of us probably would have struggled with. I mean, imagine this. You're minding your own business, you're engaged to somebody, and all of a sudden an angel comes to you one day and says, "You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be God's child." That'll kind of mess you up a little bit. Isn't that right, church? And yet, as she pondered this and she listened to this, she realized that she was chosen for a reason. And it was her love of God and God's love for her that compelled her to say, "Yes, I will do what you ask. Or in her words, here am I. And then we look back to our Old Testament reading. Here we have King David, a man who was chosen by God to be the second king of the people of Israel, to lead them to greatness, to bring them back out of bondage, to bring them out of captivity, to heal the rift that had occurred when his predecessor had come along and just simply allowed the people to fall apart and scatter. And so his job was one thing, and that was to bring the people of Israel back into one community. In spite of all the differences they had, in spite of all the ways that they saw things from one way or another, and yet, after he got them settled and he got them all back together, David had ideas. Ideas to do something great for God because God had done something great for him. God chose him to use him to be the one to bring them all back together. And so in his heart and mind, what better way to celebrate God than to build a mighty, absolutely beautiful temple, just like the one you all are sitting in right now, as a monument and an honor to bring glory to God. And yet, even when he told this to the prophet Nathan, God then said to him, tell David, did I ask you to build me a temple? From the time that I began and I led the people of Israel out of Egypt, up till now, I've never stayed in a single building. I moved from tent to tent, from place to place where everybody could see me. He said, that's not your job. Your job is to rule over the people, keep them together, teach them to love, teach them to care for one another, teach them how to be a community once again. That's your job. I've got somebody else picked out for this. And as much as David loved God and he wanted to do something special for God, David accepted what God told him and remembered that it was not his place to build the temple. So he took a seat back and he said, Lord, I will do what you asked me to do. I will continue to focus on my job and not overstep my bounds. Or as we say sometimes, Lord, I'll stay in my lane because I know you've got somebody else who's ready to do this job. People of God, this is what it means to live according to God's word. It means living in hope. It means living a life that shows God how much you love God for all the love that he has shown for you. Yes, the season of Advent is winding down. And there was a lot of lessons that we were taught throughout these last few weeks. Many of you may have missed a couple of sermons. Some of you may not even remember all the sermons that were preached. And I won't take it personal. Pastor Anna won't take it personal. Though there will be a test first thing Christmas morning. And yet, if you don't remember anything else, if you don't remember all the words of the previous sermons, allow me to give you something that I want you to take with you and lock in your heart. And it all revolves around the four words that you see on this Advent wreath. We start with hope. No matter how challenging things may be in your life, there is always hope when you have the Lord in your life. Amen? And then there's peace. No matter how chaotic things may seem in your life or in the world around you, with Jesus Christ as the center of your life, you can always find a place of peace. Amen? And then we move on to the pink candle, joy. Though things may not always be the way we desire them to be, Things may not always go the way we want them to go. The one thing that we can take comfort in knowing is that the joy that we have, and this is where I want everybody to pay attention, the joy that you have did not come from the things of this world. The joy that you have came from the Lord and the Lord alone. And so it's with that since the Lord was the one that gave you your joy, the problems, the troubles, the heartaches, the headaches, the pains of this world cannot take your joy away from you. Yes, the things that I just listed may cause you to feel a little unhappy at times. It may cause you to be a little angry. Sometimes it may even drive you to a place of being sad or depressed. And yet, when all these things are said and done, when you go to bed at night and you open your eyes the next day, it's God simply giving you an opportunity to experience a new joy that God has laid out for you. Some of you may be familiar with this particular passage of scripture from the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5. It says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." A new day to start, a new day to replenish, to put aside, and find joy. And all of that brings us to where we are today, people of God. Love. Today's word is love. And the last thing that I want you to lock into your hearts and to remember this is that all that you have heard, all that you have seen, all that has been done for you has been done because God loves you. How many of you know that there's somebody in this world that loves you? Let me see some hands. How many of you know that Pastor Anna and I love you? Here's a better one. How many of you know God loves you? How do we know this? We know this because of what we read in the scriptures. Book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, and I quote, "For God so loved," paraphrasing, "each and every one of you who live in this world, that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Continuing, verse 17. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Isn't that beautiful? Listen to it again, but this time from a slightly different version of the Bible, one called The Message. And it says, and I quote, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go through all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help and to put the world right again." Beloved people of God, know in your hearts and in your minds that you are loved. And so, what do we do with that? With all this wonderful information? Well, let's put it to use. Let's go out into this world, a world that desperately needs to hear an affirming word of love. They need to hear a message. And let this be shared from person to person. Share it with the people that you'll encounter along the way. When you leave church here today and you're heading off to lunch or to diners or to family or in your travels, If somebody will hear the words, God loves you, then share those words with them. Or if by chance you encounter somebody and you're not quite sure if they're going to respond to those words, then do this. Show them how much God loves them by showing them love and showing them kindness. In short, showing them the love that God has put on your heart so that you can share it with others. Beloved people of God, this is what it means to live according to God's word. It means going out, knowing that you're loved, and showing love. Can you handle that, people? Can you handle that? Can you do it? It's going to be a challenge. Some people may not love you back, but that's okay. Because God still loves you, and God loves them just the same. Just a quick wrap up. Turn to somebody near you, look them in the eye, and say, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Great. You know what I love about that? Whenever I do that, everybody just smiles and giggles. Nobody can do that with a straight face. Now, could you imagine what would happen if we took this same energy, those same words, out into the world? Could you imagine having an entire, what is this, Hackensack? Smiling and giggling and saying, God loves you? And how that would spread throughout Bergen County and throughout all of New Jersey and throughout, it could become infectious. Hey, maybe we can start something. I say let's give it a shot and see what happens. Amen? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for this day. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you. And thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.